I started this. I tore it up. I started it. I tore it up. I started it. And I tore it up. I just couldn't get where the Lord wanted me to go with this. And I said, well, God, then let me go to some of my canned sermons that I got in the dresser there that you've given me before, and let me preach one of them. So I went in and I got my notes out and I started going through my notes. But he kept coming back to me with just one scripture. And that scripture began to burn in my heart. And I said, Lord, you know what the people need. I don't want to preach a sermon that is just to be preaching. I want to preach something, Lord, that will help somebody get through what they're going through. Amen? And I begin to look at this scripture again. And finally, about 2:30 this morning, I finished it. I went to bed, I woke up, I was not tired. I don't have a hangover from lack of sleep. But the Lord knows this morning. And if you will bear with me this morning, I am going to be preaching to you this morning about the standard. Now, this message does not need to be long. We've already heard several messages this morning. But I begin to think about the standard that was raised. If you will turn with me to Isaiah 59th chapter and 19th verse. And it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I want you to know something, that I was in the military for 20 years. And being in the military for 20 years, there are certain tactical advantages that you must do. First of all, we must understand that when there is a battle, the victor wants to claim ground. The devil attacks you in your life because he has a hope of gaining ground. But I want you to know something, that when you come to him, when you come to the Lord in the same manner, you're not fighting the battle alone. So many times we think that we're in the middle of this battle and we're fighting it all alone. I want you to know something, when the Bible says that he comes as a roaring lion, he only does that so he can mind off of the rest of the people around you praying, and off of God, and get you on your own so you feel like you're the only one fighting the battle. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been through some battles. I've seen some things. I want you to know that I feel like I'm that that insurance guy, that calamity guy that's always causing havoc. I've been through some things. I want you to know that. But the one thing I do know, that through all of my experience, that Jesus never left me. Jesus never turned his back on me. And Jesus always helped me through it. I don't know about you this morning, what kind of battle you're going through, but there's a standard to be raised. There's a standard to be raised when we're a child of the God. Amen. You say, well, Brother Chuck, what's a standard? When I was in the military, we had a company flag, and that company flag designated whether we were Alpha Company, Bravo Company, Charlie Company, Delta Company, whatever the company may be. then it goes on. And you now have company, the company flag, then you got a battalion flag, and then you got a garrison flag, a battalion flag. There are different levels of standards. Let me tell you, through today, there's a level of standard that needs to be raised up, needs to be raised up in the middle of the battle. What happens whenever we raise the standard? Come here, brother. Bring them signs up here. Greg, run off on me. Okay. It didn't matter where you're at. When this, in the middle of the battle, the standard was raised. If you were infantry and you were fighting over here, you could look over there and see that's where the rest of your company was. Listen, what the devil wants to do is remove you from the place. Sometimes we're over here fighting all by ourselves, brother, and all we can see is the enemy. All we can see is what's around us. But when we look up, we can see where the rest of our company is, and we can walk our way over there, fight our way over there, and have support over there. It don't matter what your battalion is. It don't matter what your MOS is. It don't matter what you're doing, but there's a place where there's a refuge at. Right there on Golgotha, that raised up a standard, that when we're in the middle of the battle, if we'll just turn around and face the standard through the battle. Some 2,000 years ago, there was an awesome price that was paid on that standard to be raised. That I might have comfort in the middle of my battle. That I might have comfort, brother. That when I, no matter what I'm going through or who I'm fighting, I know that I can look to the cross, because the blood that stained that old rugged cross was good enough for me. That blood that stained the old rugged cross, that wiped away every enemy that would come next to me. Oh, we look up. We look up and we see a physical refuge here. But I want you to know, when we look up to the cross, there is a spiritual refuge there. You may be beat down physically. You may feel like you can't go on, and it just seems like you're fighting the same old battle over and over and over again, brother. It seems like every time you wake up, the battle is before you. But I'm here to tell you that you're not fighting alone. Well, Brother Chuck, you just don't go through what I go through. No, but he did. He did. Listen, the devil wants to have every advantage that he can against you. But in Isaiah 54, it says that no weapon that is formed, hallelujah, shall prosper against me. I don't care what the devil's trying to hit you with this morning. I don't care where he's trying to take you this morning. Hallelujah, there is no weapon. Can somebody say no weapon? Come on. I know that you can say there is no weapon. Come on, talk to me this morning. Hallelujah, when we get in our mind that the devil has a weapon that can defeat us, then we never go into to lose the battle. Man, I was picked on when I was a kid. Imagine that. I was a little kid. But every day, I had one guy that used to pick on me the most. His name was Dale Fletcher. And he had two cousins. And of course, Dale Fletcher couldn't pick on me. I was like about 5'2", maybe 5'1", or less, you know. Probably about 70, 80 pounds. But every day that I went to school, he would seek me out. And he would pick on me. It's every day that you get up and the devil seeks you out, you're doing something right. Come on. Every day when you face the devil, it don't matter what how much you weigh, there's still a place where you can find refuge. There's still a standard that you can look to. There's still a cross. You'll find the refuge that you need to be. But I got so tired of Dale Fletcher and what he used to do, pick on me, beat me up every day. I figured out one day I'm going to get this dude. I don't care what it takes. He may whoop me, but I'm just going to let him have everything I got. And I told him right in front of a yard full of kids there in the schoolyard, I said, okay, I tell you what, I'll meet you after school, and I guarantee you when I meet you after school, you're going to be sorry. And I watched the clock all day long. 12 o'clock was not good enough. 1 o'clock came, and I began to think about, well, you know what, that probably wasn't the smartest move to make. 2 o'clock came, and I began to shake a little bit, and I began to sweat a little bit, but then I had to dig down in, and I said, okay, I'm down on that schoolyard on my way home, and I looked out there, and there he was, but he wasn't there by himself. He was there with all kinds of people, the students that had heard, they wanted to see the fight, which, you know, come on, come on, really, a fight? Okay, so anyhow, I got out there, and I got up there, and I said, I'm just going to swing as hard as I can swing. Well, that was my first mistake. Because that's all I remember was the first swing. How many battles are we in where we only remember the first swing? Come on. How many battles do we go through when we can only remember the first swing? We don't remember nothing else. But had I looked around, there were still people that was on my side. Was there to see me win. I didn't win. I got my tail end kicked. But it didn't make no difference. I made a stand. I'm going to tell you what, every day that you get up, that Satan begins to attack you, you need to begin to say, I'm making a stand for what I believe. Amen. Come on. I know these guys are going to get tired. That's all right. It's fun. Listen, there are guidelines in war. When we're in battle, we have to fight by guidelines. How many knows what the guidelines are when you're a believer? His word. His word is the guidelines. You see, I can't go out there and just fight the battle any way I want to fight. It'd be like me when I went out to meet him. I was not prepared to meet him. Come on, that'll preach. How many of us get in the middle of a battle and realize that we're not prepared to meet the devil on his own battleground? Listen. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, we're in Psalms 27 and 14, we're told to wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the Bible is filled with scripture, but the scripture does you no good if you don't apply it to your life. Let me tell you something. There comes an application when the standard needs to be raised that we know in our heart what the scripture says, and we stand upon the word of God and upon his truth. I want you to know something. When it says that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth, this is part of that truth, that when you come into contact, when you come into the battle, you know that you know that you know that you know that God is there. The song they sing, that this battle is not mine, it's not yours, but it's mine. How many really believe that the battle is not yours? Well, I got one. Thank you. Remind me to call you when I need to pray. Listen. Don't get pulled into the circumstances of the battle. That must have been right. I feel glory bumps. Don't get pulled into the circumstance of the battle. If I would have looked at the situation and I would have just said, you know what? You're not worth my time. The devil's not worth your time. The devil is not worth your time, Bishop. It's time that we as children of God begin to stand upon the promises that He has given us, begin to realize who we are as children of God and stand upon the promises, hallelujah, that stands before us and realize that whatever we call on, He is there and He is just and He is faithful. You see, these are but identifying markers. That in the flesh I can come and I can see this marker and I can see that marker. But the true identity of a marker is a rally point. It's a place where you can go. This rally point means that there is hope at that rally point. I never did like infantry anyhow. I was armor. I was in tanks. I could move, shoot, communicate. But even with all my armor, even with all the heavy artillery that I had in that tank, I had to follow the guidelines. When I went into training, into battle, there were certain echelons. We had formations that we had to form that gave us the greatest advantage during combat. Let me tell you something. On your knees is a formation before God that you may be able to form it. That when you're in the middle of the battle, it will give you the greatest advantage of victory. Oh, there's victory in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that gives me joy to know that there is victory in the name of Jesus. I don't know how many times I can say that, brother, but we got to get it into our heart that there is victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Oh, the blood, hallelujah. The identifying markers. Tell me where I can find help. His word is an identifying marker that tells me where I can find help. Listen, the one thing I had to do was learn tactics. Field Manual 17:12, operating procedures for the field, showing you how to become victorious in battle. John 3:16 tells me how I can be victorious in the word, how I can be victorious in battle. Hallelujah. I want you to know something this morning, that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I am more than that. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that if you'll get in and read the Bible, it will give you all the knowledge you need to be an overcomer. For I am an overcomer through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. Listen. We a select group of people. We are a select group of people. You see, the enemy has no power over you. The problem is that when we get in the middle of the fight, we forget that he has no power. He has no authority. He has no means to, no weapon formed that will come against me that will prosper. How then, God, do I place it in my heart? Well, let me see. Bishop said this morning that David first faced the lion. He placed it in his heart. Then he faced the bear, and he placed it in his heart. So that when he came, there was no challenge whatsoever. He already had the victories in his heart. I'm telling you today, if you get a hold of the victories where God has already brought you from, you will know that you can face anything that comes against you. But so many times we get in the battle and we get that Stockholm syndrome. God. I don't know if I can make it through this. Oh, God, come on, man. Come on, God, I don't know if I can make it through this. I don't want to make it through it. I'd much rather sit over here and cry. I'd much rather sit over here. And you know what? I hope that I find more people just like me in this battle so they can come over here and cry just like me. Listen, God wants to raise up a people that have a strong will, that have fought the lion, have fought the bear, and are ready to raise you up to a place where he can count on you to be in the middle of the battle, but not looking for physical things, but looking for spiritual things. Quit looking at the physical things in your battle. Start looking for the spiritual side. That's the whole reason he came. He loved me enough that he would shed his blood so that when I go through something, I'm not really going through it. You see, this don't move me. This don't move me because it has no power. I rely upon the name and of Lord Jesus Christ. That is what moves the mountains. That is what calms the sea. Brother Chuck, I'm just going to say it. Quit your whining. Quit your whining. You see, the standard that you hold in your hand is the standard for the cross. When people are they seeing you hold up the standard of the cross, or are they seeing you hold up the physical things that are around about you? Hey, listen here. John 5 and 4, it says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." Promise. And this is the victory. Oh, what? This is the what? This is the loss? This is the loss? No. Come on. Bear with me. He says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Yeah. Wait a minute. There's more. He says, our faith. Listen. When you don't allow God to fight your battles, you're saying you don't have enough faith in what was done on that cross. Can I just get real? Listen, my wife just spent weeks in the hospital. I was never afraid of what was going to happen to her. What hurt me was that I was there and couldn't do anything about it. But you see what? Just sometimes you got to sit aside and let God be God. Okay, God, there's nothing I can do. Everything else is left in your hands. Let God be God. Bishop, you're right about one thing. I have an understanding now about God's love that I never had. That when I was a sinner, He died for me. Hallelujah. That I might have a new life in Him. Hallelujah. And that He looked beyond my faults and everything that I'd done and loved me beyond them and showed me a true love. Hallelujah. When you have that kind of love, let me tell you something. You're holding up the standard of the cross. It's no secret that I have a daughter that is lost. She's undone. But the Lord spoke to me and He said, can you love her beyond what you see her? You see, for so long all I could see was that she was addicted to drugs. All I could see was that she had a thieving problem. And she would take anything that wasn't tied down. But I want you to know something. When the Lord spoke that to me, I want you to know that there are those that are lost and undone in a dying world, that you need to look beyond where they are and what they're doing and show them the love of Christ. Can I love that way? Yes, you can. Why? Because He did. You can love that way because He did.
Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. When something is established, it is affixed. It is set. His word being established in my heart is fixed. His word established in our lives is fixed. Did He not say that He would protect you against the evil one? If the word is established and affixed in your heart, and He said that He would protect you against the evil one, why do you have fear? Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what comes against me this day, oh, Lord. You see what I must face, oh, God. I ask you, Lord, to bring out the word that is established in my heart, that I may know you, O Lord, that I may see you, Lord, that I may see your hand moving in my life, that I may know you, that I may know you, that there's no doubt who is fighting this battle for me. You. And only you, Lord, can fight this battle. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. All around us we see that the times are changing. We see that they begin to call that which was good evil, and that which is evil good. We see a society that no longer wants God in the schools, no longer wants God in the homes, no longer wants God in the public places, but they would rather put up a park of a demon. They would much rather take it and put satanic statue on the White House steps rather than have the Ten Commandments hanging there. You see, we're in this battle. But what standard are we going to hold up? What standard are we going to hold up? I can sit at home. I'm telling you, if you don't go vote, you're wrong. If you didn't register, sorry. But your voice is important. Because there was one that was crying in the wilderness. That voice was crying in the wilderness. What was he proclaiming? The one that would come. What are you crying? Or are you sitting on the sideline and being silent, just hoping everything would go away? Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. The sin, I can pull it out tomorrow and I'll wake up anew. Everything will be okay. It doesn't work that way. Listen, you're in the battle for the Lord. You're in the battle for the Lord. Remember the old song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord? Anybody ever remember that song? Listen. You're in this battle. But you're the only one that can hold up the standard of the cross. You see, the world can't hold up the standard of the cross, but because they don't know him. The Bible says that they cannot do his will because they don't know who he is. They're a world of darkness, and they know not light. No matter what you're going through, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, touch hearts. Father God, just begin to penetrate the hearts. Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say if God is for us? Who can be against us? Who dares trespass on the property of God? Who dares to trespass on the property of God? You belong to him. The devil has no right to trespass in your life, on your life, or your family's life. He cannot trespass. He has to have permission to come in. Are you giving him that permission to come in? Are you giving the devil and walk into your life, into your heart? Sister, let me tell you something. I watched the movie Mad Max. Now listen to me. There was nothing wrong with that movie. And I watched it several times, no problem. But I begin to find out that the closer I begin to come to him, there was a difference in my life. You know why you can't watch that movie anymore? Because God said there's a difference in your life. I came to give you that deliverance, to make a difference in your life, that you may be the standard that your children will see, that you may be the standard that will lead them to the cross of Calvary.
So I sat down and I turned on the TV, and guess what was on? Mad Max in the Thunderdome. And Mel Gibson, he might be a fine actor. And all them other people that was in it. But as I sat there, the Lord began to quicken my spirit. And he said, do you really want to watch this? Is this what I saved you from? Or is it what I saved you to? As we fight every battle, we need to ask ourselves this, Bishop. What did he save me from? What did he save you from? Listen, you may not have been a drug addict. You might not have been an alcoholic. You may not have been a thief or a liar. But that makes no difference. If you didn't know Jesus Christ, you were just as lost as the rest of them. Corinthians 15 and 57, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. And Luke 10 and 19, it says, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over half of the authority. Surely he only gave us half. I mean, he was part God, part human. So surely he understands that I must stay in this human form, that I must endure all that the Satan throws at me, that I must endure what this world has in contempt for me. I want you to know something. Surely he didn't say, all the authority over the enemy, over Satan. You. I don't care what your battle is. Don't look at the circumstances of the battle, but look at the victory of the cross. Oh, Lord Jesus. Brother, I know you guys. You can sit down if you want. Sit down. You see, even though the standards, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Even though the standards aren't the same place, doesn't change the battle. Come on. Even though they're not here, it doesn't change the battle that we fight. It doesn't change where we still must go for the victory in the cross. Thank you, Jesus. The key on that, it says that when the enemy comes in, and you know, and I listen to the bishop, and I'm like many other ministers that have preached this verse. Bishop, thank you for your knowledge. I always read it, when the enemy comes in like a flood. But listen, this is what you got to get. It took me, and even reading this and reading it, I had to get it. It doesn't say when the enemy comes in like a flood. It says when the enemy comes in, that the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him like a flood. In other words, everything that comes against you, that the waters of Jesus Christ will go forth. It will overtake them when the enemy comes in.
your enemy.
Ah,
come on. It don't matter. It don't matter how he comes at you. The overwhelming spirit rushes to your defense. I remember, hallelujah, watching a battle that was fought. Hallelujah, and there was about 8 or 10 people that was pinned down on a hill. And they were doing everything they could. They were down to their last rounds. But I want you to know something. They never gave up hope. The commander said, it don't matter if we run out of ammunition. We'll throw our rifles at them. We're not going to give in. We're going to fight to the best of our ability to fight. And I want you to know something, that they were fighting and they were... And just as they were getting ready to throw the rifles, guess what came over the hill? There was a helicopter with all kinds of relief on them. I want you to know something. When you're ready to give up and give in and throw the rifle at them, then Jesus will send in the helicopter. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on. Hey, listen. We're not babies anymore. It's time we quit acting like babies. Hallelujah. I want people that when I call you and I ask you to pray for me, I don't want you to hear my sob story. I want you to begin to pray right now. Hallelujah. Because on this, I want God to move on my behalf. Hallelujah. I want him to move. I want him to move the mountains. I want him to fill in the valleys. I want him to make the crooked ways straight. I want you to know something, that we need to get that same mentality. Brother, I could help you more with my sympathy. I'm looking for some warriors that are willing to hold up the banner today. I'm looking for warriors that are willing to kneel at the cross and call upon the cross of Calvary. Instead of sitting there trying to fight the battle by yourself. Oh, Lord. Yes. You can't help but have the victory. Says that when I have victory, I have joy. I have joy because I have victory. Listen, if this is a church that is on the move, it's time to... We're sitting by waiting for people. We should be on the outside beckoning people to come into the store. There's got to be a difference between this church and that church. There's got to be a difference between this church and that church. This has got to be a church that crisis. We know how to get in touch with the Lord of Lords. Oh, the problem is, listen, the problem is, you got too many people staying in the battle where they don't belong. You got too many people that they don't need to fight. You got too many people going from one battle to the next battle, to the next battle. I'm telling you something. If a person just runs around from battle to battle to battle to battle, you end up being a weary warrior. You end up being a wounded warrior. You end up being helpless to the word of God. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. There's somebody in here this morning. Hallelujah. Am I preaching to somebody in here this morning? Hallelujah. That's been through a battle or two. Hallelujah. That needs to understand that the only victory you're going to get is through that cross. Hallelujah.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spirit. Oh God, make way known unto me. Make thy way known unto me. Only you know the answer to this. As you stand in the middle of battle, your standard has been tattered and torn. You see, you know it's your standard because as you look off into the horizon, you see the battles that have been fought. Somebody didn't get that. See, I need somebody in here that's been through something in their life. I need somebody in here that's been through something. Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Chuck. You know, I'm not going to say anything, Brother Chuck, but I've been through some stuff. I've been through some battles. I need deliverance. I need help. I need the cross of Jesus Christ. I need the blood. Listen to me. I know there are several prayer warriors in this body. I know there are several prayer warriors in this body. Where's your standard? What are you holding up? Well, I'm not where I used to be, but you're not where He wants you to be. You see, because the battles of everyday life, we don't face them. We don't face them with the attitude of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, whatever comes, comes. Come see, come saw. It's got to happen to somebody. It might as well happen to me. If the devil's picking on me, he's not picking on somebody else. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He's picking on you because you're doing something right. If we don't go into a battle to lose a battle, why do we allow Satan to push us away from the standard, the rally point, the place where we have hope, where we have confidence? His ability to lead us through the battle. Listen, there are some commanders that I had in the military that I would follow to the end. But there were some leaders, there were some commanders. We said, man, they might have book smarts, but they ain't got the common sense that God gave a goose. I wouldn't follow that person. Listen, you can only trust him. You can only trust him. You can't trust anything else in this world. You can only trust him. All to him. I now resign. Hallelujah. I would ask you, as we all bow our heads, I don't want nobody looking around. This ain't about you. This ain't about your battle. Personally, I don't care what the battle is you're going through right now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there's somebody else who cares. My job is just to help you, to pray with you.
My job is to lift up the standard that he has given me.
Is there one in here this morning that would say, Brother Chuck, I've been going through some stuff. But you see, I haven't held up the standard. I haven't been holding up the cross. I've been holding up my own self-pity. I've been holding up the flesh of the world. I've been holding up the physical side of life. And I need to hold up him. Is there anybody here that needs prayer this morning? By the uplifting of hand, I'm not going to call you forward. Yes, I see that hand.